Being Wrong, Adventures in the Margin of Error. Author, Catherine Schultz. The Pleasure of Being Right. In our collective imagination, error is associated not just with shame and stupidity, but also with ignorance, indolence, psychopathology, and moral degeneracy. Of all the things we are wrong about, this idea of error might well top the list. It is our meta mistake. We are wrong about what it means to be wrong. Far from being a sign of intellectual inferiority, the capacity to err is crucial to human cognition. And far from being a mark of indifference or intolerance, wrongness is a vital part of how we learn and change. Thanks to error, we can revise our understanding of ourselves and amend our ideas about the world. Given this centrality to our intellectual and emotional development, error shouldn't be an embarrassment and cannot be an aberration. The summary is staked on the soundness of the observation. That, however, disorienting, difficult, or humbling our mistakes might be, it is ultimately wrongness, not rightness, that can teach us who we are. Two models of error. This is the received wisdom about error, that it's dangerous, humiliating, distasteful, and, all told, unfun in the extreme. This view of error has some merit. Our mistakes really can be irritating or humiliating or harmful to ourselves as well as to others. To dismiss that fact would be disingenuous, but as an overall outlook on wrongness, the pessimistic one is radically incomplete. The fear of being wrong stems partly from a lack of understanding. To account for the breadth of our real-life experiences with wrongness, we need to pair the pessimistic outlook with another one. In this second, optimistic model of error, the experience of being wrong isn't limited to humiliation and defeat. Actually, in this model, the experience of being wrong is hardly limited at all. This model is harder to recognize around us, since it is forever being crowded out by the nausea notion that error is dangerous, demoralizing, and shameful. But it exists nevertheless, and it exerts a subtle yet important pull both on our ideas about error and our ideas about ourselves. The idea that from error springs insight is a hallmark of the optimistic model of wrongness. Altered states of consciousness simply throw this faith into relief. Make the error extreme enough. Depart not a little way, but all the way from agreed-upon reality. And suddenly the humdrum of human fallibility gives way to an ecstasy of understanding. We hear this strangely intimate relationship between error and truth in the double meaning of the word vision, which conveys both delusional and revelation. Here, the pessimistic and optimistic models part ways on the fundamental meaning of wrongness. Our errors expose the real nature of the universe, or they obscure it. They lead us toward the truth, or they lead us astray. Together, these two conflicting models form the backbone of our understanding of error. The origins of error, deception of the senses. When we discover that we have been wrong, we say that we were under an illusion. And when we no longer believe in something, we say that we were disillusioned. More generally, analogies to vision are ubiquitous in the way we think about knowledge and error. People who possess the truth are perceptive, insightful, observant, illuminated, enlightened, and visionary. By contrast, the ignorant are in the dark. When we comprehend something, we say, "I see." And we say, too, that the scales have fallen from our eyes, that once we were blind, but now we see. Illusions are the misleading outcomes of normal perceptual processes. This isn't just true of the visual kind. Some auditory illusions are even more common. Those of us fortunate enough to have all our limbs sometimes experience a similar, if sillier, feeling known as the phantom hat. In this illusion, we continue to feel the presence of a tightly worn accessory, bandage, or article of clothing for some time after it has been removed. Dangerous, disruptive, consequential, trivial, and pleasurable, as tangential to error as they initially seem. perceptual failures turn out to showcase virtually the entire practical and emotional range of our mistakes. That's one reason why we claim that they are a paradigmatical form of wrongness. But another and more important reason is this. Illusions teach us how to think about error. Emotionally, illusions are a gateway drug to humility. If we have trouble acknowledging our own errors and forgiving those of others, at least we can begin by contemplating the kind of mistakes to which we all succumb. The origins of error, society, and the dilemma of thinking for oneself. Thinking for oneself is, beyond a doubt, a laudable goal. But there are three problems with the idea that it's a good way to ward off error. The first is that the glorification of independent thought can easily become a refuge for holders of utterly oddball beliefs. You can dismiss any quantity of informed and intelligent adversaries if you choose to regard them as victims of a collective, crowd-driven madness, while casting yourself as the lone voice of truth. The second problem is that our own direct observations and experiences are not necessarily more trustworthy than second-hand knowledge. The last and most significant problem with the idea that we should always think for ourselves is that, bluntly put, we can't. Every one of us is profoundly dependent on other people's minds, so profoundly that if we took seriously the charge to think for ourselves, we would have to relinquish our faith in the vast majority of the things we think we know. Depending on second-hand information makes our lives both much more efficient and much more interesting than they would be otherwise. That said, this dependence raises an important question about the nature of belief. The world around us positively bristles with second-hand sources, from the White House press secretary to the Weekly World News. Obviously, we don't believe all such sources indiscriminately. All of us usually engage in a kind of deliberate and thorough source evaluation from time to time. And, as an ideal of intellectual inquiry, we both teach it to and expect it from other people, especially students, scholars, and professionals in data-driven fields. In our day-to-day life, however, departure from this ideal process is the norm. Instead of trusting a piece of information because we have vetted its source, we trust a source, and therefore accept its information. What happens during wrongness? What happens during wrongness? That moment when the feeling of being right zero comforts to the feeling of being wrong. Psychologically, as well as structurally, this moment forms the central experience of error. It is here that some part of our past self gives up the ghost, and some part of the person we will become begins to stir. As that suggests, the moment is crucial to our moral and intellectual development. It is crucial to why we fear and despise error. It is crucial to helping us understand and move beyond those emotions. And it is almost impossible to describe. The moment in which we can logically say, "I am wrong," simply doesn't exist. In becoming aware that a belief is false, we simultaneously cease to believe it. Still, something has to transpire between thinking that we are right and knowing that we were wrong. Yet the nature of that something is remarkably elusive. For the most part, our beliefs change either too quickly or too slowly to isolate the actual encounter with error. Fortunately, we don't get stuck with this piece of pure wrongness very often, and we don't get stuck there via the collapse of small or medium-sized beliefs. We get stuck there when we're really wrong about really big things, beliefs so important and far-reaching that we can neither easily replace them nor easily live without them. To err is human. As far as we know, then, error is uniquely ours. To err is human. I'm only human. Our fallibility is what keeps us suspended between animals and angels. The important truth behind these sayings isn't that we must be wrong from time to time. It's that we can be wrong. Alone, among the creatures of the world, we can hatch crazy ideas, pursue pipe dreams, and speculate wildly, keep faith with even the most far-fetched fantasies. Sometimes these notions flourish and bear fruit, and sometimes they collapse. However, we humans do not normally self-destruct in the face of our mistakes. On the contrary, we self-create and we self-recreate. This idea of self-creation suggests something else important about error. Being wrong doesn't just make us human in general, it also helps make each of us the specific person we are. In our inability to get things exactly right, in the idiosyncrasies of our private visions of the world, the outline of selfhood appears.